SBS Radio.
Whatamoorlei and welcome to NITV Radio. And it's that time of the week again where we get to welcome Ray Johnston, journalist and Wiradjuri woman, to talk all things science and technology. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Thanks for having me, sis.
Lovely to have you here today. We've got a number of things to yarn about on the segment today. But first up, alien plants could pose a risk to fruit bats. What can you tell us about this story?
Now, first of all, they're not plants from space. Just want to make that clear. They're just not native plants to a certain area. So it was a team of scientists at the University of Sydney, and they looked at the nutritional content of the diets of a whole range of flying foxes, also known as fruit bats. And they normally feed on native vegetation, but they're also now feeding on introduced vegetation. So they looked at Christmas Island flying foxes, Sydney natives, grey-headed black flying foxes. Now, they're feeding in developed areas that are often revegetated with introduced plant species like mangoes, bananas, breadfruit, Japanese cherry trees. So in 2018 and 2019, the researchers, they collected and they analysed 125 different native and non-native plant samples. And compared to native fruit, introduced fruit has a lot more carbohydrates but less vitamins and minerals. And flying foxes, they prefer to feed on those introduced plants because it makes it easier for them to get the energy that they need for the day. They're getting all those carbohydrates straight off the bat. But, they might end up favouring these plants as well because some of them fruit year-round when the native fruit might not be around. But if this happens, their nutritional requirements might not be met. So we need to get more of our native plants around, a bit less of our introduced plants around, and we need to make sure that our native animals can feed properly.
Absolutely, sis. Now we go from talking about fruit bats to talking about a mouse plague, which is happening across New South Wales. And the New South Wales government, they're taking action now. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, the New South Wales government, they've introduced a $50 million package that they're offering to farmers and households and small businesses to help them deal with the mice plague that's impacting on parts of rural and regional New South Wales. So free baiting through free of charge grain treatment will be made available to primary producers, and affected rural and town households and small businesses, they're going to be able to apply for rebates to help them meet the cost of purchasing mouse baits. So we're talking $500 rebates for households, $1,000 rebates for small businesses. They're providing free mice bait for farmers, that's the grain treatment, and workshops to educate farmers on the best ways to get rid of the mice, as well as a research project that they're funding to help identify and develop a new mice-killing agent, so a new poison, effectively, that will help combat all of these mice. So hopefully all these strategies can help bring some balance to the ecosystem out in rural and regional New South Wales, because it's not just the farmers that are impacted by this, it's our native wildlife and environment as well. So, and it's causing huge issues at the moment. So fingers crossed this can help make a bit of a dent in the problem.
And good news that the New South Wales government are pitching in a $50 million package to help residents and farmers, of course, across New South Wales who are experiencing this rather awful and quite horrific mouse plague, sis. Now we go from talking about that mouse plague in New South Wales to quite a shocking and sad story about coral reefs that they could be eroding within the next 30 years. Is this right, sis?
Yeah, this was Australian and New Zealand researchers. They've looked at 183 reefs worldwide, and they've come up with three different scenarios based on our current CO2 emissions. And the worst case scenario, it predicts that 94% of reefs will be eroding by 2050, and that reef growth will completely stop globally by 2100. So the researchers, they say that the really rapid reduction of carbon dioxide emissions is what's needed to protect coral reef ecosystems. And if the world can reduce carbon dioxide emissions drastically, coral reef growth will be reduced, but many reefs will still be able to keep growing. And some of them might even be able to keep pace with sea level rises. But even if we fail with those reductions, you know, and we do keep within, you know, intermediate emissions scenarios, some coral reefs will still keep growing for a short while, but by the end of the century, they will all be eroding. And if we hit that worst case scenario, very shortly, all the coral reefs will be eroding. And we've known for more than a decade now that, you know, acidification of the ocean, the acid in there will affect the ability of coral reef to form their calcium skeletons. And we've known that ocean warming brings increasing, you know, marine heat waves that cause coral mass bleaching. So our only hope for these reefs now is converting to alternatives to fossil fuels as soon as possible, or we're looking at a future without coral reefs.
Which is not good news at all, hearing that on our science and technology segment today, Ray. And still on the topic of climate change, apparently climate change could erase ancient Indonesian cave art. How so, sis?
Yeah, so this is research out of Griffith University, and it's shown that some of the world's earliest known rock art is disappearing at a really alarming rate. And this includes cave paintings dated back to at least 44,000 years ago that are believed to be the oldest surviving artistic depictions of hunting scenes and also supernatural beings. And yeah, they're deteriorating at a rate that's in step with climate change. That's what they've noticed. And it showed evidence of salt crystallization on the rock art panels at 11 different limestone cave sites in southern Sulawesi in Indonesia. And the researchers, they say that they're really shocked by the extent of the salt weathering that's occurring. And they say that it's high temperatures and more dry days, more consecutive dry days in a row, combining with monsoonal rains in rice fields and also aquaculture ponds that are causing the stone decay. And it's degrading at worsening rates, and it's set to worsen, you know, the higher global temperatures climb. So the researchers are saying that we urgently need to look at more rock art conservation research to have the best chance of preserving those paintings for the future.
Such an important topic to discuss on our science and technology segment today. As we come to a close, thank you so much, Ray Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and journalist. Thank you for joining us for yet another science and technology segment. It's been great having you as always.
Anytime, sis.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.